Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle. I want to go odd. 5-51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd. 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook. Breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the grapes check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 grapes. Even 51 grapes.
And the rest of the NFL season.
Yeah, go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
Anybody ready for football yet?
Yes.
Yeah, I kind of thought so. Already kind of feeling like, okay, it's Wednesday. And even though we kind of feel like it's a typical game week, it's not. And there's no use in even going through the motions. It's not. Just the way it is. We welcome you inside the playbook for a Wednesday. It's the AFC Championship Week. It's the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens here at Gillette Sunday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Eric Scalavino from PFW is here in his regular work week. What are you staring at?
I'm looking at your screen. You have NFL.com's homepage open.
Page, right.
And the headline story is obviously the championship games this weekend, and it has a defensive player from every team participating this weekend.
Right.
Except the one they have up for the Patriots is on IR.
Yeah, that would be
Andre Carter.
Yeah,
shouldn't be in that picture.
Probably
he
not.
Will not be playing
he
this
be
weekend.
Playing. No,
find that odd. The other ones are is that Justin Smith, Ray Lewis, and Justin Tuck.
Tuck, yes, that's who they are.
And Andre Carter.
What do you think about that headline though? It says after 16 games of offensive dominance, defense stepped up in the postseason.
They sure did this past weekend. Yeah.
What changed?
That's a great question. I don't know.
I'll tell you what changed.
Okay.
The teams that got beat turned the ball over.
Well, that's one thing, yeah. The Saints turned over, what, 5 times?
Yes. Packers 4 times.
Turned it over, was it 4 times?
4 times. They turned the ball over.
Texans turned the ball over a few times.
I discount the Texans as the offensive juggernaut.
Well,
they're just
not a juggernaut, but I'm just saying they lost. And
but
they turned
lost
the ball over.
Because they turned the ball
they lost,
over.
They lost so the turnover team, battle.
The teams that lost the turnover battle.
Yeah.
The only team that didn't lose the turnover battle was Denver, and, well, enough said on that one. That was a complete and total dominance. Right? So, you know, somebody, in fact, I wrote a column on Go Local Prov this week, if you care to go look at it, about how this really shouldn't be a surprise because, you know, the game has changed in the NFL. You and I have had this discussion several times during the course of this season. Game has changed. The rules have changed. No longer is it going to be defense wins championships. I think a defense can still win you a championship, but the game has evolved to the point now where if you have a franchise, quote-unquote, franchise quarterback and receivers, and you can get up and down the field, you're competitive and you've got a shot to win every time out. The game has changed because this is what the NFL wants. It's what the fans want. That's why the NFL is where it is in terms of popularity and in terms of rights fees and in terms of money generated and, you know, memorabilia sales. And the NFL is number one, bar none. It's because the game has changed to the fans' liking. And so I basically wrote that, and I said that I think that's why the Patriots will win. Not only this week, but I think the Patriots stand a very good chance to win the entire thing this year.
I'm with you now.
Based on their offense. And that while we all agree that the Patriots' defense could be and probably should be considerably better, they have enough this year to win in the present environment of the NFL. They have enough to win. And then somebody basically jumped all over me and says, what are you talking about? I've been listening to this crap on local radio all week long, and defense wins championships, always will be. I said, well, then you're just not paying attention. You're not paying attention. You're old school, and that's great, and I don't have any problem with that because I consider myself old school, but you're not paying attention, or you don't want to pay attention because the rules have changed. And their comeback was, well, then what about the defenses this last weekend? I said, they were fine, but defense didn't win the game. Turnovers won the game for them.
Yeah, you're right. It's a good point.
Turnovers. If Green Bay doesn't leave the ball on the carpet to throw picks, if New Orleans doesn't leave the ball on the carpet to throw picks, they don't lose those games. I'm sorry, they don't. And that, you know, and
well, yeah, the Saints put up 32 points.
32.
With 5 turnovers.
With 5 turnovers.
And one of those turnovers happened where they were on the two.
And I believe.
On the other team. I believe the 2 yard line.
And I'm just thinking off the top of my head. Somebody will correct me because I'm sure they always do. But the Packers turnovers, they committed four turnovers. And wasn't there a pick six? I'm just trying to think. I'm not trying to make excuses, okay? The point here is that, you know, it was a 37-20 game. If the Packers don't turn the ball over, they probably score once or twice more, and the Giants don't score once or twice themselves. Is that fair to say? If the Packers have zero turnovers in that game, you really think it's 37-20?
No.
No. The Giants could still have won the game.
The Giants have an improving offense, but I think it would have been hard for them to put up 37 without
correct.
All the turnovers.
Correct. Absolutely correct. And that's the whole point I'm making. And I even wrote that in the column. I said, look, the fact of the matter is that the game is still changed. It hasn't fundamentally gone back to, oh, defense wins championships. You know, defense can certainly still win you a championship. I'm not even arguing that point. What I'm saying now, though, is that offense stands a better chance than ever to win a championship. If you emphasize offense, especially if you've
and
got
not defense.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
If right.
You have one or the other.
You got one or the
you
other.
Stand a better chance at the offense.
Correct.
Yeah.
You either got if you got an outstanding offense in the past, it was kind of like, well, but you can't stop the ball, so you can't win a title, even if you had a great offense. Right?
Yeah.
But now, as long as you have a great offense or a great defense, you can win. Because the rules of the game have changed.
Mm.
No longer do you have to be complete. And of the four teams left, who's the most complete? San Francisco? New York?
Probably New York.
I don't think it's New England or Baltimore.
Probably New York.
I don't think it's New England or Baltimore. Maybe New York. Maybe. I still can't trust Alex Smith, so
yeah,
it's tough for me to throw San Francisco's offense in there. I know. It's a little tough.
But even the Giants, I know we've seen them do this before, specifically in 07.
Right.
But they're on such a roll right now, they are due to lay an egg.
Yeah. They are.
And I think they lay it this weekend in San Francisco.
I kind of agree with you. I'm leaning toward San Francisco this weekend. It'll pain my Giants friends to no end because I actually picked them, as you'll recall, to beat Green Bay last week.
You and I both did.
We both. Oh, that's right. You did too. Okay, good. So, see, we were right on target.
I was actually – I felt good about making that Houston pick even though they lost because I felt like they outplayed Baltimore.
They
and
did.
Probably should have won the game.
They did. They absolutely did.
So I felt okay with taking that hit.
Because, that's correct.
I mean, I think they should have. The toughest game to pick was the Saints Niners.
Right.
I hemmed and hawed about that for the longest time.
I did not think San Francisco would win the game.
I thought they had a legitimate chance. Being at
home,
being outside.
Yeah, I thought they could, but I did not think
a slower track for New Orleans.
But
I didn't expect the five turnovers.
Right, but I didn't think they would. But yeah, New Orleans shot themselves in the foot with the turnovers.
Yeah.
So that's the whole point here. Offenses can win you a championship. The Patriots have the preeminent offense remaining in the tournament, so to speak. And for
without doubt, offensively.
For that reason alone, as long as the Patriots don't turn it over, like Green Bay, like New Orleans, like Houston, as long as the Patriots don't turn it over, not only should they win this week, I think they will win this week, and I think they should win the Super Bowl. Should.
Mm. I agree.
Because they have a dominant unit. Nobody else has what I would consider a dominant unit. Are they good? Yeah. San Francisco's defense is good. New York's defense is playing well. Baltimore's defense is good. They're not as dominant as we've seen in the past.
And if I could add to that, I think the manner in which New England won against Denver, I think, helps confidence-wise both sides of the ball. It helps the defense in particular because they finally put together that 60-minute game we've been hearing about for so long.
Mm-hmm. They did. They did do that. They did talk about that.
They have been building toward that,
about trying to play a 60-minute game.
Complimentary football and all that.
That's one thing I think the Patriots did do against the Broncos last week is they played as close to a 60-minute game as they've played in a long time, maybe all year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And I think having a defense that you can rely on, or at least if you have the perception that you can rely on them, helps feed the offense,
mm-hmm.
helps take a little bit of that pressure off. Because remember a couple of months ago I was saying, you know, I think part of the part of the problem on offense when they went through that little skid was that there was so much pressure on Brady and the offense to be perfect all the time because they couldn't rely on their defense. Now I think they're starting to feel like a team. They're starting to feel like the defense is going to go out there, get the ball back for them, and the offense is going to score. The greatest thing I think that happened, John, was that Denver won the toss and elected to defer.
I said that yesterday.
Best thing that could have happened.
But I said that was a blind stroke of genius that the Patriots took full advantage of.
Yes.
And now that they've seen what happens.
I hope if they win the toss,
they take the ball. Yes. Because then you put your defense in a completely relaxed state. You've gotten the jump on the team, and a team that admittedly struggles offensively in Baltimore this week compared to their defense, you're going to put immediate pressure on Flacco to perform.
Mm-hmm.
You got to take the ball.
Yep. Take it whenever you can.
Take the ball.
Because there's never a guarantee that just because you get the ball to start the second half, you're going to score with it.
No, never. I understand the thought process, you know, getting the ball late in the second quarter then trying to two for one. I totally get that.
If you can convert.
If you can convert.
There's no guarantee.
You
got to
convert.
And there's no guarantee you'll get it on the opening drive of the game either. But I'd rather take the chance then and start off with the lead.
Right.
Then to go into the second half. You could be down 10 going into the second half. What good does that do you?
Absolutely.
Getting the ball back.
Absolutely. All right, here's how you reach us. Webradio@patriots.com. Our email address, of course, as you know. The Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. 508-298-0398. Facebook, up and running at John Rook, R-O-O-K-E. If you're not a friend on Facebook, go ahead and submit that friend request. I got, I think, 6 or 7 new friends yesterday. It was awesome. Love filling out the friend requests, and then you can post, you can chat, you can message, whatever you like, but that's what we do both during the show and obviously during off hours. And don't forget to follow me on Twitter, at jrook0722, J-R-O-O-K-E, 0722 is the Twitter page.
Speaking of that, John, I'm one away from 2,000.
Sweet. 1999, somebody's got to follow you now. Come on, somebody be 2,000, you're going to win a prize.
PFW Eric, with a K.
You're going to win a prize.
I don't know about the prize, but just follow me. I'll send you a tweet saying, hey, thanks for being 2,000.
I'm almost getting close to being in your neighborhood. I'm close to 600 now. So.
Oh, good. See, you're
I'm inching up there. I'm getting there. I'm inching up. I haven't marketed it like I should, but I'm getting up there. So we'll get up there. So follow us both on Twitter if you're not following, because
especially
there's
over the next
stuff.
Few weeks.
This would be the time to do it. If you're ever going to do it, this would be the time to do it. Practice report today. I know you guys talked about it, but Mr. Brady was the only absentee.
Only one. Yeah.
What do we make of that?
As I said to these guys earlier, we've seen Brady take some time off the last few weeks on the first practice day of the week. My guess is the injury report will come out and it'll say Brady limited. I'd be a little shocked if he didn't play at all today, but there's a part of me that thinks that it's just a veteran day off, and it's going to say not injury related.
You don't think there's anything akin to why the Giants sent Eli Manning home because he had a little bit of a virus, do you?
Oh, to avoid spreading.
To avoid spreading.
Well, but Tom was here in the building today because he had his. He had his NFL
media,
network
right.
media responsibilities.
Which, by the way, we're going to hear a little bit of later on in the show because we figured today would also be a good day to get inside the locker room and listen to some of these guys because there were so many guys available.
Yeah.
So many guys were very talkative today, which is an unusual day, but it is AFC Championship Week.
AFC Championship Week. And this week and next, there's no excuse for players to turn down requests for interviews.
Right.
I mean, that's what you're expected to do, and it's a conference championship. It's the league championship next week. You have to talk.
Right.
Enough of this.
Part of the job.
Yeah, it's part of the job.
Part of the job.
You can't turn them down anymore.
A couple of questions for you today. And again, Ryan Mink from Ravens.com is going to join us at the top of the next hour as well. But a couple of questions for you to consider today. Number one, I know that you're aware, and you probably heard, Ed Reed kind of throw Joe Flacco under the bus yesterday. And if you haven't heard it, paraphrasing, he just kind of thought that Flacco got rattled a little by Houston this past weekend, even though the Ravens did end up winning the game. And then, of course, that it caused T-Sizzle, Terrell Suggs. That's a lame-ass nickname. I'm sorry. That's just lame.
Trite.
Come on.
It's been
really?
Done.
Come on.
Are we done with the whole Izzle thing? I mean, Snoop Dogg wasn't that last decade?
He's so 90s.
Yeah. Guy was rooted for every team on the planet, by the way, too.
Yeah, no kidding.
Including this one.
But Suggs came out and kept calling Flacco my boy. You know, my boy can compete with the best of them.
Yeah.
My boy can
I
do
saw
this.
That too, yeah.
My boy can do that. And I'm like, this is just, come on, really? Really?
I mean, the things he says weren't inaccurate. You know, Flacco has won a playoff game,
but
every
it was almost like he was going way over what he should have said to, you know, to give Joe Flacco some credibility to the point where it's almost like, okay, this hurts now. I'm embarrassed.
Gonna have to start spelling Flacco, F-L-A-C-K-O.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a good one.
All the heat he's been taking?
But because of the heat, I mean, do you think that clues anything in to the Patriots? I mean, Ed Reed was critical of. It's very clear in his comments, he was critical of the fact that Houston was able to get pressure on Joe Flacco. And Flacco did not statistically have a very good day against the Texans. And you can certainly make the argument that Texans don't turn the ball over, that they could win the game.
Yeah. Jacoby Ford's play turned the game around.
Totally.
Completely.
Totally. And you have to avoid that
and
one
Yates
game.
And made a couple of ill-advised throws.
Overthrows that, you know, a rookie probably, you know, you could expect, but you don't think you're going to see from a guy like a Tom Brady, for instance. So there were some mistakes that Houston made that, quite frankly, they just weren't able to overcome because that is who they are right now. They've had some injuries, and, you know, you can certainly see if Matt Schaub and Mario Williams were part of that team, that's a different outcome. It's not a stretch to say that.
No.
But it's over. The Ravens won the game. The Ravens deserved to win the game because they were able to have the right bodies in the right place and turn the Texans over. And kudos to the Ravens for taking advantage and putting
just
17.
Barely. Yeah.
Just barely, but they took enough of advantage of it and put 17 points up on the board in the first quarter and held on to win the game because they do have a good defense. So they did that. We're going to talk to Ryan Mink of Ravens.com about that, but I also want to find out if you feel like maybe the Patriots now feel like they can rattle Joe Flacco just a little bit, number one, and whether or not you feel like that will be key to the Patriots having success on Sunday. And then number two I want you to consider today, and we have talked about this kind of off and on throughout the season. I think we did it through the midway point of the year, but now that we can kind of take the entire season and look back on it a little bit, and certainly the 8, now 9-game winning streak that this team is on, who is most unsung in your estimation on this Patriots roster? Most unsung. Don't blurt it out just yet.
I need you to think about it first.
I want you to think about it, Eric, but I want our fans to think about it as well. Who is most unsung on this team that has contributed in ways that might not quite be evident to the general populace, but that maybe you've noticed, maybe that you've read about, maybe that you have wondered about? Who do you feel like has done his duty, maybe even gone above and beyond his call of duty, but really hasn't been recognized? That's what I mean by unsung in terms of professionalism out on the field.
I've got a couple that come to mind off the top of my head.
All right, hold on to them for a second, then I'll let you reveal them. Webradio@patriots.com is how you reach us via email. The Ace Ticket Hotline, if you want to share with us on the phone, 508-298-0398. You can also post it on Facebook, send it via Twitter, whatever you like, but we're here and we're waiting on you. Now, I'm going to give you a couple of thoughts, and then I want you to give me your thoughts on unsung. First of all, as far as Ed Reed letting the cat out of the bag and rattling Joe Flacco. I think the Patriots, there's no question that they feel like they can rattle Joe Flacco, but I don't think you'll see the Patriots doing anything unnecessarily out of character. In other words, I'm not sure we'll see blitzing because I'm not sure they feel like they're going to need to.
Or that they can?
I think that's kind of obvious. We're not sure that they really can do it effectively enough. So I think what we'll see is we'll see them rush four. We might see an odd formation where you'd see a linebacker come. But I think what the Patriots are concerned with more than Joe Flacco is Ray Rice.
Right. Yeah. And rightly so.
And if you're able, first of all, Rice burned you for that 83-yarder on the first play of the game 2 years ago.
Yeah.
So you know that they're going to be watching number 27 at all times.
They're going to make Joe Flacco beat them.
Yes, that's exactly correct. That's exactly where I was going with this.
Well, they're going to try anyway.
Yes. but they're going to have to. You're going to throw over the top.
Yeah.
In other words, the Patriots' defensive backs are going to not let any. I mean, I think that they're going to. I think they stand a better chance of playing more press man this week than they ever have before because I don't think they think Flacco can beat them over the top.
No, I'm saying I think they're going to try, meaning I think Baltimore is going to try to establish Ray Rice.
No question. He's your leading rusher.
Right.
He's your leading receiver.
And if New England can limit him, then make Joe Flacco try to beat you.
No question.
But if Ray Rice is beating them, they're not going to let Joe Flacco
do anything. If Rice is getting 4, 5, and 6 yards a carry,
then they're going to keep feeding
The ball to him.
And little player.
He is a nice little player.
Very nice.
But they will do that. But if the Patriots are able to keep Rice to 2 and 3 yards a carry and force Flacco to get back into the pocket and throw.
That'll be interesting.
Now we're talking, and this is where you get him out of a comfort zone, and I think this is where you'll see the Patriots defensive backs probably come over and play more press, which is something I think most of us have been actually calling for all year long anyway, that they've been too loose in the secondary anyway. They've been giving a lot of stuff up. I mean, obviously they were dead last in passing yards allowed.
On a sort of lighthearted note, but sort of a scary note.
Yeah.
I brought this up to Andy on the show earlier. We'll probably see for the first and hopefully last time Antoine Molden against Anquan Boldin. Which might not work out so well for New England, but
Against Anquan, yeah. Boldin against Molden.
Yeah.
I love it. That's awesome.
I just hope it doesn't.
Oh, we could get killed on that one.
Yeah.
Could get killed.
Could be a mismatch.
Could be a definite mismatch. And if, if it is, then, hey, kudos to the Ravens for taking advantage of it. They'll probably try to set that up if they can. Right?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that is going to happen. I got to call that one, too. I'm going to do that. I got to look for that on Sunday. I'm going to call that out loud. Out loud. By the way, did you know that the NFL allegedly fined us last week?
Who us?
The game day entertainment crew.
At Gillette Stadium?
Yeah.
For what?
Apparently for inciting the crowd.
You were fined?
Well, they were fined. I was no part of it last week. Remember, I wasn't,
well, that's
I
right.
wasn't
you were
here.
You weren't here. But
I know. Allegedly.
Really?
Yeah. Allegedly. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
There was, and I've come to find out, believe it or not, this is a true story. There was an official observer in the booth that jumped all over Stacy the first time
the first down thing
happened, and they said you can't make any announcements once the play clock starts. And I'm like, well, if that had been me there, I would have been ripped and I would have demanded to talk to the SOB because this is the way it's been all year long. And I said, and if you think this doesn't go on in other stadiums, you are sadly mistaken.
Oh yeah.
So I would have demanded to talk to him.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
We were just at Denver last month, and
they
are known for Brady's pass to Branch was incomplete.
And that goes on after the play clock has started.
All the time.
That's the point I would have brought out.
Yeah, but that's a signature call for Denver.
Here's the catch, okay? Apparently, the NFL official who did the most complaining, works for the league now, is a former Broncos employee.
How about that one?
Okay.
That's shenanigans.
I mean, that just is. And so if the Patriots pay 1 cent.
Oh, well, that's a hypocrite, right there.
Oh, are you kidding me? If they
I didn't
pay
even know
one,
that, mentioning the Denver example.
They pay 1 cent of any fine at all, then it just serves them right for being gullible. Because they should challenge this all the way to the Supreme Court.
Wow.
Talk about absolute conflict of interest. Are you serious?
Conflict of interest and hypocrisy.
Yeah. Yeah. Because it's a former Broncos employee that now works for the league, and it happens to be, his old team that's playing in Gillette.
Yeah.
And even though his old team is worse than we've ever been at Gillette Stadium about, inciting the crowd, so to speak, that just absolutely boggles the mind.
That's part of the home field advantage.
Exactly. Get over it.
Yeah.
You work hard all year long for home field advantage.
Exactly. Are they going to start finding fans next for being too loud?
Yeah. Exactly.
What is this, tennis or golf?
That's what I'm saying.
That's absurd.
That's what I'm saying. Now, all I can tell you is that I have always held fast to the rule. As an announcer, I've always held fast to the rule that I do not try to make any announcements after the team has broken their huddle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? Out of courtesy more than professional courtesy more than anything else.
Right. Same thing like with the music.
Exactly.
Like music during timeout.
Exactly.
But, they turn it down.
Exactly. And you cut it.
Right.
Right? That's the way. That's just respectful is
right.
All it is. You're allowing the players to play the game. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Other teams don't do that. Other teams have copied us now for decades around here and the things that we do at Gillette. So for the Patriots to get hammered on that this last weekend just blew me away. So something to keep in mind for those of you that will attend the game this Sunday or watch the game or listen to it. And we've already talked about it earlier today, in fact, with myself and Paul and Kevin and some of the others that are in charge of the game day operations here. Business as usual.
Yeah.
We're going to do the same things we've always done. You know, and if the NFL has a problem with it, guess who the NFL is going to have to come talk to face-to-face? You're looking at
John Rook.
You're looking at him.
A Texan.
I'm not taking any crap.
Don't mess with Texas.
Not taking any crap. Not taking any crap. You can't find me. Hell, I don't have the money to pay
that's
it anyway.
Right.
So you can find me, all,
find
you
me
want.
All you want.
I don't know what the hell that's going to do.
Yeah.
Take away my playoff share?
That's right.
Yeah, right. Okay. That's good. That's rich. So come talk to me about it. But I just found out that did the research on it, but the guy that was complaining the most this past Saturday night is a former Bronco employee.
Very interesting.
Yeah. Thought you might like that one. All right. Tim says via Facebook, he says, if the Pats don't go all the way and hoist the Lombardi, the talk will be more than ever that defense wins championships in the year of the quarterback, the year that records tumbled offensively, the powerhouses fell short. The Giants have the best balance of the remaining teams. And think of this. The refs extended two Packer drives with awful, awful calls, the non-fumble and the blow to the head, both of which ended in touchdowns. Let me continue with this because I just... Page just changed over here. Okay. Whoop. Those are the only touchdowns the Giants have allowed thus far in the playoffs. And he gives a couple of interesting facts. Number one, my phone autocorrects Flacco to flaccid when I text it. Oh, excellent, Tim. That's excellent. And number two, despite T-Sizzle's lame-ass name, Snoop Dogg actually does some great things for youth football on the West Coast. Google it sometime. That's very true. He's been in the Pop Warner football for a long time.
Oh, yeah. No, I know. I know what he does.
But you're right. He's kind of...
But it's just... it's
Well, look this way. His last best thing that he did was when he had to team up with Katy Perry. California girl?
Yeah.
Okay. That was, what, a couple years ago now? Seems like. Anyway, he says, most unsung, Matt Light, as he has been for most of his career, and this could just be his best season yet.
He's right on.
Pretty
there.
Good one.
Yeah.
Pretty good one. Matt Light was very unassuming. And what does that mean when you're unassuming? It means you're doing your job.
Yeah, and we almost ran him out of town last year.
That's right, we did.
Got to take a little blame for that. We didn't think he had any chance of coming back to
that's
team.
That's right. That's a good point.
And they re-signed him for 2 years, and we thought, oh, that's curious. But it turned out to be a godsend because the injuries all year to Vollmer and Solder and Cannon not being ready until midseason, Solder having to be forced into duty.
Mm-hmm.
Having that presence there at left tackle has been enormous for Tom Brady in the offense.
Has been. Absolutely. All right, that's a good one, Tim. Good way to get it started there.
Very good email.
Excellent. Excellent way to start it off. All right, let me get a couple of others here. Lashana. Officer Lashana in Vegas. She's one of my favorites. You know that.
Oh, yeah.
She's got a good photo here, too. Hey, John, unsung heroes to me would be Julian Edelman and Kyle Love. Julian has done so much for the team in all three phases of the game. He is my second favorite player behind Tom Brady. Kyle Love has emerged on the D-line. I really love his passion and the energy he brings to the game. Thanks for everything, you guys, too. I think she's hit two winners right there.
Mm-hmm. I will stay with the offensive line because I'll go with an obvious one, I think, but Brian Waters at right guard, because there was an opening there to begin with Stephen Neal retiring.
Mm-hmm.
And then when Copen went down with his season-ending injury at center, that forced who would have been your right guard if they hadn't signed Waters, Dan Connolly, to move into that spot. Then you would have had probably Ryan Wendell moving over to right guard. There would have been too much fluctuating going on the O-line. He has been rock solid there along with Light at left tackle. Those two guys, I think, are your most unsung heroes for this year.
I am going to totally agree with Dan Connolly. Dan Connolly is at the top of my list of most unsung, considering what he's had to do and where he's played all over that line and just the absolute, you know, solidification of that line by stepping in as the third center this year for this team. That's totally unsung. My other one, I'm not sure anybody's going to come up with, but I just thought about it, and I thought about it, and I thought about it some more. And I'm going to give you Zoltán Mezco. And the reason I'm going to give you the Zoltán is because...
You don't mess with him.
Well, right. You don't ever mess with the Zoltán. No, that's number one. But number two, the man knows how...
T- too late for the rim shot now. Come on, wake up in there. Jeez.
I know. Come on, Matt.
He's just sitting there like a spectator.
Sleep at the wheel, my
fault. Spectator.
I know. Well, it's so rare that we get a chance to see you, you know? We're glad that you're here today.
It's AFC Championship Week. Yeah. Do I need to give you a Ray Lewis-like pep talk? This is AFC Championship Week.
No, I can't wait. Put in the Bart Scott voice.
Oh, yeah, there you go. Can't wait. Yeah, that's who we're missing this week. All we need is Bart Scott to add to the mix.
No, but
right?
We have Terrell Suggs and his nonsense.
That's also true. But to me, Mesko has done a great job in, you know, field position when he's had to. When he's had to boom a kick,
he's been very consistent.
He has a great, if you've ever watched his kicks when they're in position to try to pin somebody, he knows how to style a punt inside the 20-yard line.
That was his strength coming out of Michigan. Where he struggled was changing his style on the, because he still does the Australian rules style pooch punting type thing when he tries to, you know, in the plus 50 punting, they call it.
Mm-hmm.
But when it came to just booming long kicks from, you know, inside your 20 or in your end zone or whatever, he had to adjust his technique a little bit last year. And he struggled with that early on last year. He has perfected it. And most of his long punts are perfect. Spirals, that arch and turnover. You're right, John. He's been very consistent this year and has helped the Patriots win the field position battle more often than not.
Did you see he got some props on Conan?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
Conan O'Brien gave him some.
Is there a link to that somewhere?
I'll see if you can find it.
Yeah, see if you can find it, Matt. I'd like to throw that out because I don't know if anybody
email it
saw
to me
it or,
if you get it too, please.
Yeah. Because Eric will want to write about it, but we'll play it too. We'll give Conan O'Brien full credit here. Ismar says on Facebook, John, I'm not sure if he's an unsung hero, but Nate Solder turned out to be a really great pickup by the Patriots. He covered nicely at both tackle positions.
Correct.
And as an extra blocker on running plays.
Correct. As the tackle eligible / tight end, whatever you want to call him. I'm actually doing a story about him this week. That's my focus.
Nice.
Is on Solder and the contributions he's made, and when you play the Tom Brady interview, the second question you'll hear is mine about Nate Solder.
Ooh, how great is that?
I have
that?
To introduce myself.
Do you?
To the
guys again?
They make you do that.
Make you do that now.
The NFL Network
carries it
purposes.
Live.
Yeah.
Yeah. So they want you to broadcast your name.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah. We'll definitely make note of that. Jay just sends this in on Facebook. Brian Waters has also been amazing.
That's who I. Yeah. Echoing my sentiments.
Offensive line, right?
The whole offensive line
has been unsung when you consider the changeover.
There's some turmoil there.
There has
injuries,
been some turmoil.
Retirement,
yes.
Moving people around.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the O-line has been steady, and thankfully so, because without them, Brady can't throw the ball and have the prolific numbers that the offense has had this year.
No question. Here it is right here.
What do you got there?
What is this? Oh, this is the video of him talking about Zoltan. Somebody just posted it on my Facebook wall.
Oh, okay.
All right. I'll give you the address. If you haven't found it, Matt, I'll send it to you, or I'll give you the address, and you can go to it. All right? All right, webradio@patriots.com, Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Did you find it? All right, play it. Yeah, go ahead, play a little bit of it. This is Conan O'Brien on the...
Hold on, it's loading on the page.
Oh, it's still loading?
I'm just waiting for it to load.
Okay. Don't you just love having to wait for stuff like that?
Why don't we do it after the break, then?
Okay, and let's take a break, then. Let's do that.
Time to
load it. Wait a break. Get it loaded up. We're going to come back. But I need your most unsung Patriot this year and what you feel about Joe Flacco. And can the Patriots, will the Patriots pressure him into a tough game this Sunday? That's coming up in the playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS.
1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, then strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So what do you think? You guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature.
Right? Yeah.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Dear business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Health Care Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochette. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Last week, we talked a little bit about singer John Parr. Let me explain who he is. He had a number one hit in the 80s with the title song from the movie St. Elmo's Fire. Okay? Well, this is what he did. At the height of Tebow fever last week, Parr re-released that song as Tim Tebow's Fire. It appalled a lot of people. This is real. Listen to this. Well, I'm really sorry, but this Parr guy is clearly just an opportunist. This weekend, Tebow's team got slaughtered by the New England Patriots, and by halftime, Parr completely switched allegiance to New England and started releasing songs about the Patriots. Like this one about their 3-touchdown tight end, Rob Gronkowski.
I can see his big broad shoulders, and I like his tight buzz cut. Number 87's open, Gronkowski's fire.
Gronkowski's fire? And this one about the Patriots punter Zoltan Mesko.
I'm gonna miss that little pigskin, but alas, it is fourth down. And a guy named Zoltan can't get Pascal's fire.
Did he do everyone on New England staff, like even the assistant strength and conditioning coach, Moses Cabrera?
Sure did, Andy.
Shooting work on tries or delts now. Which muscles do we need? He puts us back onto the treadmill, Cabrera's fire.
That's good.
I like
that. That's funny. That may be some of the funniest stuff he's ever done. Because I'm not a big, huge Conan fan, but I have
say,
that's pretty funny.
I have the first down rotation this week, so I'll have to include that in the first down section of the paper.
Gotta go.
Bad it's not an audio version. You can put it on the Patriots app.
Well, you got it right here. And you go to my Facebook page, and it's posted there too. So, yeah. So that's good stuff. All right. So thanks to Conan O'Brien and Team Coco for posting all that stuff and doing that on the Patriots. Gives us something to laugh at and talk about this week.
Did you
right?
know he's a big Patriots fan? I didn't know that.
Conan?
Well, he went to Harvard.
He's from this area, isn't
he's
he?
He's from this area.
I didn't
know
he was from the area. I knew he went to Harvard, but I didn't know he was a big Pats fan.
Have you seen The Fighter? The movie The Fighter?
Yeah.
His sister is one of the sisters.
Oh.
That I didn't know. That. I didn't know that either.
It's the one who looks just like Conan O'Brien, and I know I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that to be.
Well, that's one handsome woman.
No, but that. go up on IMDb, look for The Fighter, and it's one of the sisters. I forgot what her first name is, but yeah, she was in there. She's got the Boston thing going on big time.
So you can tell it's pretty obvious. Huh?
It's pretty obvious.
Oh God, that's scary. I don't know if I want to look at that. Oh God, whew, scared me. Oh, good stuff. Yeah, I knew. I was aware he was a Patriots fan, and you know, Harvard Hasty Pudding Club and all that.
Why
stuff.
Why isn't he following me on Twitter then?
I don't know.
I gotta keep him up with his Patriots.
Well, maybe you need to follow him first.
Come on, Conan.
You need to follow him first. Is he one of those that will follow you back if you follow
know.
Him?
I don't know, but if he's a Patriots fan, he should be following us.
You would think, right?
So we can get my practice report every day.
Oh, that's right. We gotta have the practice
and my Scrabble word of the day.
I know. Do we have
you
a word
play
of the
words
day?
With friends against Conan O'Brien.
Yeah, that'd be fun.
Be an epic showdown.
Would be epic.
All right, Chad. Ooh, Mr. Rook. Oh, this is very formal now.
Oh, boy.
Thank you,
like
Chad.
Mr. Rook's my father.
Yeah, he is my father. I have two unsung players. Number one, Julian Edelman. He has contributed the most of any player, has definitely gone above and beyond. I don't think I need to tell you guys what he's done all this year, but he has done a little bit of everything. And then number two, Danny Woodhead. He has contributed a lot in many ways, too, such as critical third downs and touchdowns that have helped win games. I was watching highlights of him on YouTube from last season. As the change over in the page continues to roll here. And then he says... Don't you just love this? Here we go. And boy, I think that he might be our best balanced running back. I may get laughed at here, but I think we should use Benny on the goal line, let Ridley develop a little more, and use Woodhead as your main back. I mean, he may be small, but you know what they say, big things come in small NFL players. Okay.
I've never heard anybody say that. But,
no, but okay.
He's not having the year that he had last year. He was
not
far
quite.
More productive last year.
Not quite.
I refer to him as the human touchback. Because no matter when he's returning the kick, it's going to be somewhere
be
between
less
the
than
18
the 20.
And 22.
Yeah,
the human touchback. Mm. I don't think that's exactly complimentary, is it?
No. But not also not inaccurate.
No. Oh, yikes. Okay. All right, your thoughts again, webradio at patriots.com.
Speaking of inaccurate.
Ace Ticket Hotline, 508-298-0398. Most unsung pressure applied to Flacco by the Patriots this weekend. We need the thoughts of Derek from the University of Arizona. What's up, Derek?
What's up, guys? How you doing?
Good, man. What's happening?
I'm just waiting for Eric to take his shot.
I already did. No, I already did. He said, speaking of inaccurate, here's look who's next.
Wow.
Oh, really? You know, when you get on the air, you get that little static
thing. Yeah, it's okay.
But it's all good. It's all good. Yeah, I'm just I'm on break from class, so I figured I'd chime in.
What else?
So, you know, I'm just talking about the unsung heroes. But going to the last emailer, I'm not sure I want to see Woodhead at all.
Yeah. But, well, no, I don't think at all is fair, but he certainly isn't putting up the kind of numbers he did last year.
Well, I mean, especially, I think he's had a better later portion of the season. I mean, I think at the beginning of the season, I don't think we even saw like a hint of the player we saw last year. He was making incredible plays last year. But he ran pretty well at a couple times in the last few weeks. So.
Yeah, and I'm not sure they're using him the way they did as much last year. There were a lot of delayed handoffs last year, a lot of, you know, using him in the passing game a little bit more. I don't know if they've really, and whether that's by design or not, I don't know, but it just seems like he's not out there as much, and he's not doing the same types of things that he was last year. Maybe they don't need him to, but I don't know. It just doesn't seem like he's having that kind of year. I have to agree with you, Derek.
But, you know, hey, Eric, I want to give you props, though, because, John, I can't even believe you considered not having a recap show if the Patriots were to lose. I mean, if you were just to go off the air like that, that would be disappointing.
We did a recap show last year after we lost to the Jets, and but that was the first time we'd ever done that. And it wasn't my call. It was totally not my call. That was Fred's call in previous years, but then we decided we needed to do that. So there will be a recap show if, by some chance, the Patriots stumble.
Yeah, it'll be in February. No, so don't worry about it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Well, that's the hope, and you know, I think they have a pretty good chance this week. I keep trying to remind myself that it was the Broncos, but I think they played a very complete game. You know, no question about it. And everyone looked really good. I think just because they were facing the Broncos offense, I don't want to completely discredit the defense's effort, because I thought they were flying around and they looked really energized. And Eric, a question I want to ask you was, because I know that you've been in the locker room, and you know, a lot of people were talking about how the team looked like they were really excited for last week's game. You know, are you getting that kind of same feeling this week too?
Yes, absolutely. I think they're buoyed by the way they played against the Broncos. And like you said, Derek, granted it was the Broncos, not exactly the best team they'll face in these playoffs, but I think the fact that they finally were able to do something that they've been talking about for practically the entire season, they're peaking at the right time. You can't dispute that. They are peaking finally at the right time. And I think I see a confidence in players on both sides of the ball that I think was lacking for much of this season. There were a lot of, the way players talked during the season was always almost like they were trying to convince themselves more than they were trying to convince us. And now I think they finally are seeing the fruits of the hard work they've put in and just staying together. I like the way this team is looking and feeling at this point.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And that's why I brought it up, because it seemed like they were excited to play. They didn't seem as nervous. And I definitely think that, you know, regardless of the opponent, you know, that kind of a win in a statement game, it just kind of makes me feel like that's going to carry over this week, which is why I'm feeling good about the game. You know, if they can contain Ray Rice, you know, he's going to get his, but I think that if they can, you know, limit his big plays, and I think that they will take advantage at least once of Joe Flacco's, you know, passing, because I don't think he's the best quarterback. He might be a little bit better than Mark Sanchez, and, you know, that's not really saying much.
No.
But,
one other thing,
you know,
I just wanted to...
I don't really think of him as a quarterback, you know, that well. I mean, he's not terrible, but, you know, a lot of people have had good games against us, you know, this year, but I still think that we're going to come up with a big play, and, you know, who knows. I have a question, though. I mean, do you guys think that if the Patriots use the hurry-up offense, you know, maybe they'll use it more to help the Ravens not disguise defenses?
That's a good point.
Because that's what I've been thinking about a lot, and I think I'm going to post something on Pats Fans here soon, not to, you know, toot my own horn or anything.
No, that's all right. You can.
I just think that if the Ravens want to disguise what they do, and Tom Brady is obviously trying to figure out what's going on pre-snap, if they were to hurry up and get the ball out quicker, the Ravens wouldn't be able to go, get into their, you know, disguised formations. They'd have to be kind of show their hand a little bit more.
Well, here if they're going to do that, Derek, here's who I want on the field. I want Gronk, Hernandez, Welker, Green Ellis, and Branch. I want those five skill position players on the field because you're not going to be able to substitute and do different types of things. You're not going to be able to bring in the extra tight end. You're not going to be, you know, like the Nate Solder kind of thing. You're not going to be able to call all the same plays that you normally would. I want those five players on the field. If you give me those five skill guys, no huddle all you want. Because I think you can call as many plays. You can call more plays with that personnel.
A different
grouping.
Variety of plays with that personal grouping. Yes.
Right. Then you can. Because I don't feel bad throwing the ball to Benny out of the backfield. I don't want to do it all the time, but if I have to, he's out there to do it. If we want to run the ball, he's out there to do it. If you want to put Hernandez in the backfield, like we've seen the last couple of weeks, you can do that. If you want to throw to Gronk, you can do that. Welker, you give me those five guys, and you can go no huddle all you want.
Right. You know, and, you know, the Ravens, they're an emotional team. You know, they can get up for games. So I'm really hoping that the Patriots can kind of have a start like they did against the Broncos, whether they, you know, whether they get the ball first, you know, score and try to make a defensive play or a defensive stop and try to take the Ravens out of it early, because they definitely don't want to be an early slugfest and have the Ravens kind of get that mentality that we're in this game. I think that if, you know, it's like, especially that last drive, the first drive in the last game, it was such a beautiful drive on that first, you know, however long it took, like 3 minutes or whatever it was. And it was just so deflating. You could just tell. It was like right away, it's like the Broncos didn't even know what hit them.
Well,
and I'd definitely like to see that again this week, and I'm sure you guys would agree.
Yeah, there's just one other point I want to make before I head out of here is, I think in a strange way, having lost in the first round or having lost in their first game of the playoffs the last 2 years, I think is somewhat beneficial to all of the young players on this team who have now matured and who have had to live through that humiliation. Because, and Troy Brown mentioned this the other day, Troy Brown, one of the four honorary captains this week, John, I don't know if you've seen that. There are going to be four right. honorary captains right. from the 96 AFC Championship team.
Right.
And Troy was one of them. The other day he came and spoke for a few minutes at the podium, and he said something I thought was very interesting. You know, he was at the Baltimore game 2 years ago. He sat up in the press in the owner's box with Wes Welker, who was injured for that game, you remember? And he said being around the team that week 2 years ago, he didn't get the sense that they were really – how did he put it exactly? That team didn't have the fire that is needed at this time of year. They didn't have
really.
They didn't have that playoff intensity that you expect. They didn't have that zeal that he was used to seeing, and he didn't feel confident about them going into that game. And as it turns out, he was right. He says he gets a completely different feeling this time around being around this team, and it's what Derek asked me earlier. I get that same sense from them that they've learned from the mistakes of the past. They're not certainly not taking the Ravens for granted. I think the fact that it's the Ravens is almost sort of poetic justice that they're able to maybe sort of exercise some of the demons from 2 years ago. And I think that's going to catapult them. And if they do end up having to face the Giants again, I think you'll see a different result. No matter who they play, it's going to be a different result.
Just a little different attitude, huh?
Yeah, and I think it's helpful that they had to go through that adversity. Some of these younger guys who weren't part of the early Brady years when they were winning Super Bowls, because those guys in the early part of the 2000s didn't have that experience either. They had to learn it, and they had to acquire it over those few years when they were winning. Now these guys are going through
point,
that same...
That's like more of a macro view of like the last couple of years. Even
right.
just looking at like more of a micro view of just like the last couple of games, you know, going back to like the team's mentality. Oh, and I know John and I talked about this. You know, especially when they played the Broncos the first time, when the Broncos were up early, and you know the Dolphins were up and the Bills were up. You know, they go ahead and they're down early to an opponent, and for them, I think they're a mentally tough team. I think they've been down early. They've had to make adjustments, you know, adjustments in the game plan and execute. And I think that's going to help them. And just like your point for the years, I think this is more of a mentally tough team, and they seem looser and more excited, and that makes me excited. And it was exciting to hear that as a fan, you know, last week, and when they came on the field, they just looked like they were ready to go. They looked prepared and fresh and all that. So
yeah, they didn't look dazed, and Brady didn't have that dazed look that he had in the Super Bowl against the Ravens and against the Jets in the last three playoff games before last weekend. He had that look where he was in a fog, and I think the whole team sort of followed suit and played that way in those three games. They certainly didn't have that against the Broncos, and I certainly don't see it this week, so far anyway. It's a different team. It's a different team with a different attitude and a more confident team. They realize that it is fun and games, as Brandon Spike said today when we were talking to him about it, but they realize the importance of it too. So they're taking it seriously, but they're loose, like Derek mentioned. I'm getting a really good feeling about the way they're approaching this week.
You're talking about how the younger guys earlier in the decade had to learn trial by fire. What this speaks to, I believe, sometimes is that playoff experience can be overrated.
Well, I don't think any experience is overrated, but playoff success is overrated.
That's also true.
Potentially.
I think as long as you're preparing and you know that you've got a common goal, I think it's all fine and good that you've been through the wars together, mm-hmm. so to speak. Mm-hmm. But as long as you've gone through something together, I think that speaks to the larger issue of team cohesion, unity, chemistry, if you want to use that word. Mm-hmm. You've got to find a team that has the chemistry aspect going for it as opposed to the quote-unquote experience. Now, I can also find that experience and chemistry a lot of times do go hand in hand. But they also are mutually exclusive. So there's you have to kind of get a real vibe for a team.
Yep.
There is a little different vibe about this team than what we saw earlier in the last decade.
Yeah, no question. Just two quick points, and I'll let you guys go. The first is about the unsung hero. I liked the I think was it Eric that brought it up, Nate Solder, that. That's a good one, especially because a lot of people weren't extremely happy about that pick last year in the draft, including myself. Not that I didn't think he was a bad player. I thought he was a great player, but just because of the position, and it turned out that he played well. But I'm going to go with Matt Light because I think he's been so solid, and this has probably been his best season. And, I'm not even extremely worried about him in this game because in years past I'd still worry about Terrell Suggs, and I'm not saying I'm not worried because with a player of Suggs' caliber, you always have to be worried that he's ready to make a play, but
T-sizzle.
I definitely think. What's up?
T-sizzle.
yeah, T-sizzle. And,
I'm sick of him.
And, so Matt White's been great. And also, I'm cheating here. I'm going to go defense and say Kyle Love because I think his development's been really exciting, really cool.
I agree.
I mean, he's come along, and especially because
it's a good one.
A lot of people expected Albert Haynesworth to go ahead and pan out at least a lot better than he did.
Yeah.
And for him to not pan out and have Kyle just completely develop and help Wilfork, and he's getting penetration up the middle, and he looks really good. He's coming along nicely. So,
he really has.
Both of those players are great. I mean, it's been all the season, too. I mean, consistently he's gotten better, and that's great, obviously. And he's, he's making plays, and he was making some tremendous push in the pocket this last Saturday.
I'm
sure you guys, it was almost hard to miss it.
Yeah.
And, just for the score's sake, because I probably won't give you a shout tomorrow, I'm thinking Patriots 31 or 34 to probably like 20 or 23. It seems like a big score, but I just think the Patriots offense is just moving the ball way too well. And I think Joe Flacco will make a mistake. It might just be one interception, but I think that's all it will take.
Yeah.
And that's just my thoughts on that.
Sounds good,
like
Derek.
It, Derek.
All right, guys. Talk to you soon. Have
a
good one.
Get back to class. You kid, you. All right, were we done with the practice report then? It was just Brady missing, right?
Yeah, pretty much. That was the big news.
Okay.
He wasn't there. But so it's, about an hour from now, we'll find out exactly what happened.
All right. Excellent. All right, go upstairs and write. Get your thing done. See you in here tomorrow.
We'll see you tomorrow.
All right, we're going to take a timeout. We got emails to get to. webradio@patriots.com. Ace Ticket Hotline still up and running. 508-298-0398. Sometimes we have to kind of kick the squirrels in the rear end to get them, working on the little pinwheel there. But other than that, it's still working. Your thoughts on the most unsung on the Patriots roster this year. And Ryan Mink from Ravens.com is coming up next hour here in the Playbook.
Hey, it's Jim from Ace Ticket, Boston's very own ticket agency. Ace Ticket is based here in Boston, so we know every seat in every venue. We're Boston fans just like you, from Boston sports to concert and theater. Whether you need one ticket or 100, Ace has you covered. So treat yourself or someone special. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com and take advantage of our free and easy pickup at our Fenway Park or Boston Garden location. That's 1-800-MY-SEATS. 1-800-MY-SEATS.
All right, guys, ready for 2 weeks in the wild or what?
Absolutely. Yeah.
All right, let's strap on those backpacks.
Hey, let me just check this text.
Oh, come on, man.
Oh, no.
What?
Not now.
What is it?
McRib is back.
What?
We're going to miss it.
This backpack just got really heavy, guys.
Everybody back in the car. We are going to McDonald's.
Yeah, good.
McRib is back for just $2.79. But that saucy pork goodness is here for a limited time.
So I think, you guys want to do a golf trip instead, maybe?
That's kind of nature-y, right?
No.
The simple joy of big news. Price and participation may vary for a limited time.
Your business traveler who's flying away, you can get more out of your working day with plush leather seats, including legroom galore to stretch out your knees, feet, and more. Plus 36 channels of DirecTV in your seat gives you something to watch once work is complete. Log on at JetBlue.com or call for an experience dedicated to you above all. My name is Edwin, and I'm a JetBlue crew member.
And that was a dedication to you from JetBlue. Experience it firsthand at JetBlue.com/business. Based on the average fleet-wide seat pitch of U.S. Airlines, DirecTV service available on flights in 48 contiguous states only.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
That is the metaphorical sound of you hitting your head against the wall in your search for the perfect brand new car. Let's chalk it up to the fact that you didn't know AutoTrader.com even had new cars. See, AutoTrader.com lets you compare new cars side by side, even special offers, so your head and heart can both get what they want. Say your heart wants a sporty 2011 coupe, but your head wants the best deal in town. Bingo! A never-been-owned-before coupe that your head and heart can both agree on. AutoTrader.com, now the ultimate new car marketplace.
Hey, what's that?
A Dunkin' Donuts hot chocolate with a turbo shot of espresso.
So you're making a statement about the duality of mankind, in that we can be warm and cozy, yet intense and energetic. That's quite the dichotomy you've exposed.
Actually, it's just really delicious.
Charge up your Dunkin' hot chocolate with a turbo shot. Add some espresso to your favorite cup of chocolate comfort today. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer.
These Dunkin' sausage pancake bites are so good. I love how they wrap tasty sausages in yummy pancakes.
Actually, I believe they took yummy pancakes and filled them with tasty sausages.
Huh. You say pancake sausage bites, I say sausage pancake bites.
Try Dunkin' Donuts sausage pancake bites, your favorite breakfast flavors together in one delicious bite. Grab three for just $1.59. America runs on Dunkin'. Price and participation may vary, plus applicable taxes.
I love this card.
With my Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card, I earn more cash back for the things I buy most.
Cash back for the things I buy every day.
I earn 1% cash back on every purchase, everywhere, every time.
2% on groceries.
And 3% on gas. Automatically, no hoops to jump through.
It's as easy as 1, 2, 3.
That's 1% cash back on a cut and color.
2% back on food for the neighborhood barbecue.
And 3% cash back on getting the kids to soccer practice and football and baseball.
Extra cash back on groceries and gas. That's my kind of card.
Earn 1, 2, 3% cash back for the things you buy most with the Bank AmeriCard Cash Rewards credit card. Apply online or at a Bank of America near you. Quarterly maximum on grocery and gas bonus rewards. To learn more, go to bankofamerica.com/getcashback. Bank of America, the official bank of the New England Patriots.
Copyright 2011, Bank of America Corporation.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Visitor Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Now is your chance to hit up John Rook inside the Patriots playbook on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Call 508-298-0398. That's 508-298-0398. Now, back to your host, John Rook.
Hour number two inside the playbook as we get set for Ravens AFC Championship game Sunday here at Gillette. Ulrich sends this on Facebook. He says, John, I'm a day behind, so I'm not listening live, but from yesterday, I wanted to chime in with my opinion whether or not the season is a success with a loss on Sunday. I think success is too strong a word, but I would call the season approved. That's an interesting way to put it. The number one seed and a playoff win is not a bad season, but I would still be disappointed if they lose this Sunday. But the season would not be a disappointment in my eyes. Fair, Ulrich. Totally fair assessment, I think. Probably accurate one as well. Tim says, good call about the no huddle. I could see the Pats keeping an eye on the personnel the Ravens have on and then going no huddle as soon as they like the group. Ed Reed missed a few snaps the other day before rolling his ankle at the end of the game. And if he has to take a play or two off, as I wait for my page to change over again. I just love how Facebook does this. Kills you. Take a player or two off. I can see them going all in with the no huddle. Make the Ravens burn a timeout to get him back on the field. Same when Alodi Nata, takes a breather or if Ray takes a play on the sidelines. Yeah, I think taking a look at the personnel groupings on the field will indicate whether or not you actually see that from the Patriots in some form or fashion. I think that's an excellent call. Jamal in New York is in the playbook. Hey, Jamal.
Hey, John.
How's it going?
I'm just calling in to, you know, say my unsung hero, I would say, have to say, would be Mark Anderson.
Okay.
Yeah, I think he, you know, helps the Patriots, like, you know, actually have a pass rush on the outside that people have to worry about. Most people don't, you know, other teams probably don't realize, you know, like, not like Terrell Suggs, but he's provided, you know, a couple pressure on the quarterback, which really helps out the secondary too.
Yeah, you know, I think that's certainly a worthwhile pick, especially in light of the fact that Andre Carter's gone down and he's had to take a lot more of the burden. You know, Anderson was a guy that when they first got him, they thought he would be basically a third down kind of guy. He wasn't going to be an every down defensive lineman, which is what he's had to be over the last few weeks. And I think they felt like one of his best efforts was this past weekend against Denver.
Yeah, he played pretty good standing up.
Yes.
And another guy, I don't know if people really realize, but Brandon Diedrich, he played pretty good too in a 3-4 playing the other end spot.
Yep.
After Wilfork.
Yeah.
So I think that would be a good front with Love, Wilfork, and and Diedrich.
We talked about Kevin Love, but Dedrick's a guy that he's one of the young tackles that, you know, the Patriots for whatever reason have kept around, and they've let other guys go in front of him. And there's a reason for that, because they feel like there's tremendous, and I'm going to use the word that I hate to use, but there's upside to these guys, Jamal, right? And
yeah.
So they see that they're getting a very high return for a low investment. I mean, both of these guys are free agents. So in that regard, they're going to try to keep the less expensive option, especially when the less expensive option is actually giving them the most in return.
Yep. I have another question. What's up with Ron Brace?
That's one of the $64,000 questions that, you know, I don't think anybody knows the definitive answer to. You know, they've kept him around for an inordinate long amount of time, thinking that, you know, here's a guy that's going to be able to contribute. They've kept Brace around, by my estimation, because they know he has physical ability. But the problem is he's never been able to.
Is it injury related? Or?
Yeah, it's sort of injury slash.
Sucky, sucky, sucky.
Yeah, some other. I don't even know definitively that I can say that. I know that he's been banged up. I think they kind of feel like maybe that there were some things that, and again, I don't want to speak to things that I don't know 110% about. I get the impression, let's put it that way, I get the impression they feel like he probably could have played when maybe he didn't.
All right. Yeah, that's all I have for today.
All right, Jamal. Hey, thanks for the call. So, and again, I really don't want to take anything away from Ron Brace because I think he is a talent. I think we've seen that. I think they've clearly expected more from Ron Brace than what he has delivered. I would tell you that I would think that the sands of time are ticking, or running out maybe is more appropriate, on a guy like Ron Brace. And if they're able to, you know, I would say that, you know, he's going to have to figure out a way to stay healthy. And then this next year would clearly be the year for a guy like Brace. And if he is able to contribute, great. If he's not, they'll probably cut bait, as they have done in the past with guys that they, you know, drafted on potential and haven't kept around. And you know that they've done that on both sides of the ball. Brace is probably the next guy that's going to jump into that particular scenario. So anyway, that's probably coming up where that's concerned. 508-298-0398 is how you reach us here. We're waiting on Ryan Mink from Ravens.com coming up in just a little bit. We do have, however, Aaron Hernandez from earlier today as well. And we wanted to get into the locker room a little bit today. And Aaron managed to talk not only within the locker room but also with members of the media as they held, you know, sort of mini news conferences with several different Patriots players today because it obviously is a huge week here. So we wanted to bring you just some snippets of some of the guys as it's fresh in our minds, fresh in your mind. And we've got game week barreling down on us here with the Baltimore Ravens. So let's get to a little bit of Aaron Hernandez.
How beneficial is it to have two tight ends like yourself and Rob in front of us?
I think it's awesome, but really what comes with that is the coaches and players we have around us. And obviously we have so many weapons around us that it helps us out a lot.
How are you feeling today?
I feel great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dinged up a little bit the other day in that one run down by the goal line.
No, I feel great.
How difficult do you think it makes defenses, you lined up a lot as a running back the other day, just not knowing on a play-to-play basis where you and a lot of other players on this offense are going to line up on any given
It's hard for defense because we move so fast. It's hard for them to recognize where everybody is to say a matchup, who they want matched up on who. So it makes defenses think fast, and we move fast, so it's tough on them.
And do you think that suits you personally? I mean, your versatility is suitable for this offense. I mean, the fact that you, on any given play, I mean, you can be on the field and on any given play just move running back, different tight end positions.
I'd say there's a lot of players that can do that, but our coaches just know how to move people around and get them in situations to make it hard on the defense. So I'd say there's a lot of players, obviously, that can be very versatile, but our coaches do a great job of moving us, and especially me, and putting me in different positions.
What are you seeing from a Baltimore defense that stands out for you first and foremost?
Obviously, they got a whole bunch of dogs on that team, and they're a great defense, and hopefully we come ready to play.
Aaron, there's an effort online to get a nickname for you and Gronk. One of them was the Boston TE party. What do you think? Do you have any ideas?
I'd say a good one would be Robin Aaron. I was just joking.
That's easy.
I actually heard something about that, but I saw like there was like six of them or something. Someone was showing me, one of my friends. But
you like any of them?
I actually did. I forgot what it was, but it was kind of cool.
What do you think of the fans getting behind you? They love you.
Yeah, that's awesome. Obviously, I love the support and love my fans. In New England, we have great fans, so it's kind of good.
Aaron, what is the one thing that stands out most about Brady? Is his leadership, or is it more like he's just one of the guys that, as good as he is, he's still like, there's no ego?
I say to be considered one of the best, or if not the best quarterback in the game, you have to be have more than one thing that sticks out as outstanding. And he's all around. Everything is sticks out as outstanding for him.
Just his leadership.
Everything.
Do you expect anything different this week with the magnitude of the game, or do you just try to treat it like?
I'd say you got to treat it like every game. You know the coach we have. Every week, whether it's first game of season, preseason, we treat it like it's a Super Bowl. So every week we come in, and it's full attention. If you don't have your full divided attention, then you probably won't be playing much.
Hey, does internally the kind of focus go up just because of the game, because of where you guys know, you know, what's at stake?
I'd say definitely, because obviously it's a huge game, and this is the biggest game. It's one game season, or we go home. So obviously we need more focus, more preparation, and we need to come to play.
Are you and Gronk competitive with one another?
What's crazy is we're not. I've always been in my life, maybe in college I was competitive against them, or high school, but I'd say now we're so close. We're more like, honestly, like brothers, and a lot of people say that just to say it, but we really are. We're really close. We love each other, and we have a great relationship.
Hey, Aaron, over here.
I got you.
Hey, you guys make it look easy. Everyone says, oh, young, et cetera, but can you just speak about the work that's gone in to get from where you were, and for you and Rob to get from there to where you are now?
It was a lot of screaming at us, a lot of disciplining, and obviously over the 2 years we got a lot of help, and we have great players around us that get us ready and prepared for the game, and we're in a great organization that makes sure that we know each detail of each route and how to run it and where we need to be, and we got taught a lot of discipline, so that's obviously why we have some success.
How did you guys, I mean, not everybody takes to screaming and yelling and discipline the same. How did you guys, speaking to, I know Rob as well, take
Rob takes a little better than I do, but I'd say this year has been pretty good, and they don't really discipline us too much now, because we already had a year under our belt and we matured a lot from our first year. But that first year, first coming in, it was kind of rough, a little screaming in our ears, but obviously over time we matured. And
all right, so that is Aaron Hernandez earlier today here at the stadium with some of his thoughts. And I thought the whole Patriots TE party is just kind of ridiculous. But okay, hey, I guess, you know, somebody sticks it out there, you got to play with it and go on. But, you know, I give the players a lot of credit for answering the questions that, for lack of a better phrase, are just stupid. But it is what it is. All right, to talk about the Ravens now, Ryan Mink, who writes for the Ravens on Ravens.com, joins us here in the playbook. Ryan, thanks for taking a few minutes. Sure appreciate your patience.
Yeah, no problem. Thank you guys for having me.
Let's kind of start off with the fact that it certainly seems obviously right off the top that this is a battle of strength versus strength when you look at the Ravens defense against the Patriots offense. And I know that you had posted earlier this week how, you know, the Ravens look at this cerebrally, if you will, but they kind of feel like this is the ultimate match of wits. So how do they go about trying to outthink or think beyond what they know is coming at them in terms of the Patriots offense? Have they spoken much to that yet?
Yeah, I think it's just a lot of film study, and you know, it's something that obviously Ray Lewis and some of the other, Ed Reed and some of the other veterans on this defense are very used to doing with Tom Brady. It's not like it's new that you have to really study Tom Brady and Bill Belichick's offense. I mean, they've been doing it for a long time, and it's worked out in their favor and better sometimes and not so great in others. And, you know, it's just, they talked a lot about it today about how this is such a complex system, and it just challenges you mentally. And, you know, John Harbaugh yesterday or Monday said that it's a matchup that head coaches look forward to, that all coaches look forward to. I mean, it's not only just the players against each other, it's really coaches matching with too. So, a lot of film study, and even for, you know, new defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano, his first time, you know, facing the Patriots as a coordinator, so he's doing a lot of work.
Right, and I think that's a good point. So sometimes a fresh approach can also be a good approach. So how much will they balance that with, you know, the fact that you've got seasoned veterans and guys that arguably are the best players at their position in the NFL, and guys like Lewis and Reed and Nada? I mean, there's some real veteran leadership. How do you find that balance?
Well, I think that, you know, they've done a good job of that this season. And Chuck, you know, while he has been a defensive coordinator for more than this season, he has been, you know, with his coaching staff since Harbaugh came on board in 2008. So they've been working with Chuck on the back end. He was the secondary coach before he was the coordinator. So they've been working that way with him. And really what Chuck has brought to the Ravens is more of an aggressive approach than Greg Madison had here. You know, he's got a little bit more creative with his blitz schemes, and just he'll get angry and he'll come at a team. And he's got a little little bit of that fire in him. So I think that that could kind of change the way this plays out. Although the Ravens have done a pretty good job in past matchups getting to Tom Brady and putting some pressure on him before.
Well, they have, and I think that most of us, at least around here, are feeling like, you know, here's an opportunity, though, because the Ravens, if anybody is out there that can rush four and put pressure on a team, it probably would be Baltimore. And if you're able to do that, you're able to drop more into coverage, and that, at least in theory, is how teams have been able to bother, if not beat, Tom Brady and the Patriots in the past, is by rushing as few as possible and still applying pressure. Do you kind of feel like that's the direction maybe that the Baltimore defense might be trying to head?
Yeah, I think that is obviously the ideal situation, that you don't have to send a ton of linebackers blitzing to get pressure. I mean, really, I think one thing to watch in this will be how much pressure can Haloti Ngata get up the middle.
Right.
I think that will be really key, because Tom Brady, if he can just drop back, you know, and plant and throw, is, you know, he will pick you apart. I think defensive coordinator Chuck Pagano described it as shooting fish in a barrel. You know, if he's able to just go back there and start playing 7-on-7 against you. So if Ngata can get pressure up the middle and make Brady at least, you know, even if you don't sack him, but make him move off his mark, I think that's going to be big for the Ravens.
I think it's a good point. That's something that, again, has been talked about quite a bit, is the way that you get to Tom is you got to move him off the mark in the offensive backfield. If you can do that, then you at least have a fighting chance, but that's obviously easier said than done. Ryan
right.
Mink covers the Ravens for Ravens.com, joining us here in the playbook. All right, so we've been talking unsung heroes for this team, at least, today. Fans obviously have their choices and the like. And in fact, several of those unsung heroes have come on the offensive line this season, because there has been some turmoil for New England on the offensive line with injuries and such. How about an unsung hero for this Ravens team that's sort of ridden under the radar a little bit?
Well, I think one that's been an unsung hero for a long time is outside linebacker Jarrett Johnson.
I was just going there. That's unbelievable. That's the first person I thought of. Absolutely. Good call.
Yeah. I mean, he is just a gritty, hard-nosed player. And, you know, just really sets the edge well against the run. Great against the run. You know, against the pass isn't his strongest suit, but he's just a smart, gritty player. And he can put some pressure on a quarterback, too. So he's definitely one guy that's been mentioned for a long time around here. I think Bernard Pollard has done an excellent job for Baltimore, and doesn't get too much said about him on the back end. Just a big hitter, you know, has shown perhaps more in coverage than teams have given him credit for. I think that was always the knock on Bernard. He's been a good addition to the defense as well.
You know, while I think the defense certainly deserves a lot of the accolades from Baltimore's perspective, I have to admit that I was a little taken aback by what Ed Reed had to say yesterday about Joe Flacco. And obviously Joe today was, I don't know if testy's the right word, but it seemed like he took a little umbrage with what was said during his time in front of the microphones today. How do you read that whole Reed situation?
I really genuinely don't think it's going to really affect this team. And I think, especially Flacco, you know, I think maybe there will be players, you know, who say, man, didn't expect to see that coming, or raise their eyebrows a little bit. But I really think it'll pass quickly. And for Flacco, I mean, that guy, he's been hearing critics his whole career.
Yeah.
And I think that when he and Ed talk, that they, you know, they work it out. And Ed's been a person who said some kind of things that have come out of left field at points during his career. So it's kind of a situation where I don't want to say nobody's surprised by any means, but, you know, it's happened before where Ed said things that don't come off exactly the way that you would think. So I really think this team's going to let it pass. I mean, there's so much veteran leadership on this team, and they've been, you know, I think so tight this year. I mean, even when opposing reporters come into the Ravens locker room, and national reporters a lot of times, a lot of them leave saying, wow, this locker room is pretty unbelievable, pretty unique, in that there's no division amongst offense, defense, special teams even. I mean, it's really unique. There's really not cliques, and they're all kind of united. And as cliche as that sounds, I think that is what will hold them together, even though there have been some, you know, comments that raise some eyebrows.
Sure. All right, well, Ryan, we know that strength versus strength has to be the Baltimore defense and the Patriots offense, so let's flip it to the other side along the same lines as I'm kind of talking about Joe Flacco there. The difference in this game is going to come down to whether or not I think Baltimore's offense can create opportunities for itself and take advantage of those opportunities against a Patriots defense that, at least statistically, this year has not been good. They played better last week, but they have not been good as a whole. So where do you feel like the difference may lie, number one? Number two, how does Baltimore's offense take advantage of what gets presented to them?
Yeah, I think the difference is going to be, can the Ravens run the ball? And I think that is a huge component in this game because obviously the Ravens have been able to do that effectively for the most part of the season. Ray Rice is a Pro Bowler, second in the NFL in rushing yards. Mm-hmm. But there's no secret that when he's been held in check, the Ravens have struggled a little bit. And I think that if they can run the ball on the Patriots, then that puts Joe Flacco in a little bit easier situation. Not to say that I think that if they do get in the shutout, that Flacco could surprise some people with what he's able to pull off, but everything will work better for the Ravens offensively and defensively in terms of keeping Tom Brady off the field if they can run the ball against that defense.
You know, I would wonder if a guy like Cam Cameron, who I'm sure, you know, some Patriots fans are aware that, you know, he's certainly been within the division. He's seen the Patriots many times. He knows what, you know, the offense can do. Having him sort of game plan against a Patriots defense that has certainly bent a little bit this year, if not broken on a couple of minor occasions, what he might be able to do to be creative. Might we see some creativity out of Baltimore this weekend?
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see. We wonder that around here as
yeah,
well.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, you never know how much is Belichick saved up, you know, for this week, for the AFC Championship game and a shot at the Super Bowl. You know, I mean, I think all coaches show things to make teams practice against that and show things to throw them off the scent of other things and weigh things that are way above my head for sure. So, I mean, the Ravens, it's a shot at the Super Bowl. So there, I don't think you hold any cards back at this point. Personally, that's the way I would feel. So maybe we could see something. I don't know. But, you know, Cam's shown little hints of things before. I mean, he ran two reverses in a row in Seattle, and he's had some creative things. I think against that was last year they had a flea flicker against Buffalo. There's been a few things. Had Tyrod Taylor come out a couple times earlier this season. So who knows?
What do you think has more effect going into this Sunday's game? Last year's close game, a 23-20 loss here, or the knowledge that, you know, you can actually go into a place like New England and win and even win big, talking about the 2009 playoff victory for Baltimore? Which one has more effect, you think, this Sunday, if any, or if either?
I think mentally probably the playoff game would. You know, and this is just me talking. The Ravens have said each game is separate.
Right.
But I have to think that if when you've gone out there, if they had never beaten the Patriots before, which the Patriots, they're perfect against them in regular season against the Ravens, if you had never done it before, never gone up to New England and won, that's a big mountain to climb. And that monkey is off their back. They know that they can do that. And I have to believe that when they're talking about this game and Ray Lewis is firing up people in the huddle, that's brought up. We've done it before. You know, we can do it again kind of thing. So I think that game, you know, not as much from a strategic standpoint because, I mean, that first quarter was just ridiculous. I don't think you can game plan to have a first quarter play out that way again. Mm-hmm. But from an emotional standpoint, I think that does carry over.
Well, you've been in the locker room with these guys. You've talked to them. They're 7.5-point underdogs going into Sunday's game. Does that bother them?
No, I think they like that, actually. I think they would prefer that. That's really been the way that the Ravens have operated best over the whole course of this franchise's history. That, you know, the Ravens have, for a long time, had a chip on their shoulder that they don't get the credit, they don't get the due. I mean, and heck, the past few weeks with Joe Flacco and all this business does not surprise them. Doesn't surprise Joe, you know, that he's getting criticism from national media and such. It's just the way that it is. And I think that the Ravens, really, when you look at it this season, they've only been an underdog. They haven't been an underdog really in any games this season. And they've performed their worst really when they've played against teams that have had losing records. You know, the only game that they were not favored to win this year was in Pittsburgh. That was the only one that they weren't favored to win, and they went into Pittsburgh and won. So they've performed better when they've been kind of the underdog as opposed to the team that's supposed to win.
Well, something that we haven't mentioned much, but I thought I'd mention it with you here, and I didn't even realize it until I'm going through some of the notes. I think it was yesterday, but it was the first time ever in franchise history this past weekend that the Ravens did not commit a single penalty in a game, nor did they turn the ball over. So it was, in effect, the cleanest of clean games. Now, you may have needed every bit of that cleanliness, considering what Houston did, and it was still a close game, but nevertheless, that's got to say something about, I think, the Baltimore focus, does it not?
Oh, for sure. Yeah, I mean, that's pretty unbelievable, not committing a single penalty. You know, John Harbaugh said he couldn't remember a game ever in his entire coaching career.
Right.
They didn't have a single penalty in a game. I have a feeling that probably won't happen again this time with, you know, this rivalry is getting pretty intense, that there probably will be a few flags flying. But, yeah, I mean, if the Ravens don't turn the ball over and don't commit a bunch of penalties, then they work in unison. You know, I think that they're kind of what I was alluding to before. They're not an explosive team offensively. They're not explosive in that way, but they play really good situational football, and they know how to win. I mean, that's been shown over the past 4 years. So that's how they play football, and if they can kind of stick to that formula, I think they'll have a decent chance.
Well, Ryan, I love the fact on the website you guys actually had a poll asking the fans what play would you call first. And I can't imagine that a Ray Rice run wouldn't be at the top of the list, considering what happened here 2 years ago. So what play do you think they call first?
I don't know. If they could call an 83-yard run, I'm sure that's what they would call.
Well, of course. I totally get that. And frankly, I kind of halfway expect the Patriots to think that the ball's got to get in 27's hands, not only on the first play, but for a lot of plays for Baltimore to really have a good shot to win.
Yeah, I would expect that Ray Rice, it will be a big part of the game plan.
Yeah, very good. Ryan, hey, thanks so much for the time. Sure appreciate it today. And safe travels up this way.
All right, thank you very much. Thanks for having me.
You got it. It's Ryan Mink from Ravens.com joining us here in the playbook. Give us a little insight on the Baltimore way of thinking. And, you know, that is, as he suggested, that's a veteran team. We know that. It's a team that is not going to be easily rattled. They have the veteran leadership. They have the guys that are in your face, and certainly in Lewis and Reed defensively, and Suggs for that matter. You know, that team is not going to back down from anybody. If anything, they're the ones that are going to be, you know, dictating it all, which is why I fully expect a very hard-fought, physical game. And when you really get physical, yeah, mistakes play a huge factor. When emotion enters into the equation, it's execution and whether or not you can execute without making mistakes, penalties, turnovers. And I brought up the question at the end about the Ravens playing a completely clean game against Houston this past weekend because they needed, as I suggested, they needed every bit of that cleanliness. Otherwise, they don't win that game against Houston. So it stands to reason that if they don't play a clean game, and I don't know that they can go a game without penalty again, because that's, I don't know that that's ever happened in NFL history. Two straight games without penalties? Has that ever happened? I don't know. All I'm saying is I don't think that'll happen this weekend, but if they don't make turnovers, Baltimore's going to be right there. See, I think we're all sort of figuring that, well, because Flacco can be susceptible to pressure, and because Flacco at times, you know, if you're shutting down, you know, Ray Rice, which is probably easier said than done, but if you're limiting him and you're forcing Flacco to beat you, which undoubtedly has got to be part of the Patriots game plan, you're not exactly dealing with strength if you're looking at it from a Baltimore perspective. I think there is some doubt whether or not Flacco can pitch his team to a win without a considerable amount of assistance from some of the other guys on that offense. Patriots defense is going to game plan for Ray Rice, and they're going to try to make Flacco beat them over the top. I fully believe that. I think that's the obvious thing. Maybe the Patriots, you know, not only take care of the obvious, but maybe they are already preparing for the adjustments, which they should be if they're doing all the work that they're supposed to be doing. They should be preparing for that first adjustment. Frankly, if I'm Baltimore, you have to win. I mean, you got nothing to lose. You're on the road. I think you come out and you wing it a little bit. I think you try to give. Now, of course, it can. If you're that confident in yourself, then I think you have to come out and wing it a little bit. And I think that Cam Cameron and John Harbaugh, I think they have to give Joe Flacco that confidence. They have to give him something to build on from the very start of the game. I could see Baltimore taking the ball, in other words, if they win the coin flip. I could see them trying to give Flacco a little bit of energy. Let's move the ball. Let's score early. Let's let him play from a position of comfort. Let's see if we can't get him in there. Let's see if we can't get them into the end zone. Let's get some points on the board early. Give him some confidence. Let's grow. Without thinking, oh, well, our defense will take care of things, because I don't think that helps your quarterback. I think you've got to help your quarterback in this instance. And I think that's where this game could be won or lost in terms of whether or not his confidence can grow throughout the game. If you force him to play from behind, i.e. the Patriots taking the football and scoring first, then you're going to have somebody playing from his heels. Then you're going to have somebody not stepping into his throws. Then you're going to have somebody maybe checking off a receiver and going to something. I mean, the confidence factor isn't going to quite be there. And I think this is a game where early the Ravens have got to establish their quarterback as a confident player. And whether you do that by winging it a little bit, opening it up a little bit, trying to take advantage of what we know is a soft Patriots secondary, I think that might be the way to go. I think that's how Baltimore makes this a game. And, of course, if they can add to that, no mistakes. Ravens will be right there. Make no mistake about it. The Ravens can win the game. There's been a lot of bluster. I've said it. Eric said it. Fans have said it all week long thus far, yesterday and today. We'll probably continue to say it tomorrow. Tomorrow will be prediction Thursday. That's when we want all of your picks. And I know overwhelmingly you'll come on the Patriots side of it. But the Ravens can certainly be there. This is, you know, it's only going to hinge on one or two things. It'll hinge on a pick. It'll hinge on a fumble. It'll hinge on a huge pass interference. It'll hinge on a block down, illegal block down field, a crack back, a block in the back on a return. It'll hinge on something. There will be a play in this game that'll be significant to stem the tide and flow the momentum in another direction. It usually happens in playoff games. Becomes more magnified in championship games. So you're going to find a hinge, a fulcrum, something that's going to swing things one way or the other. And if I'm Baltimore, I'm trying to give my quarterback, who, yeah, I think he's certainly at least adequate, if not better than adequate. Let's face it, guy's got a winning record in the postseason. He's won a postseason game every year that he's been a starting quarterback. He's certainly better than Chopped Liver. I know we like to lambast him. Patriots fans like to blow him off. I mean, he's not even in the top half of the league. I heard that one today. Well, okay, maybe. I don't know how you can say he's not in the top 10 to 15, at least, because he is the quarterback of one of the final four teams in the NFL left playing. There's 28 other quarterbacks that wish they were playing, and they're not. Now, maybe that speaks to Baltimore as a team, but it also is partly because Flacco has at least been adequate. Doesn't sound like much, I know. It's sort of like a backhanded compliment, but he hasn't done the things that quarterbacks sometimes do to beat their teams. He hasn't committed the egregious errors. So I don't know about the whole rattled thing. Maybe Ed Reed said that this week because he's trying to rally the troops. If Flacco has a big game, you know that'll be the topic of conversation next week, especially if they beat the Patriots. Be like, oh, Ed Reed did exactly what he was supposed to do here. He lit a fire under Flacco's butt. Okay, maybe. He could also be backpedaling too and laying the groundwork for an excuse if they lose. Now, there's a little psychology involved here with the war of words. That's why it's always interesting to sort of, all right, consider what someone says, but don't take it exactly word for word. There's always a hidden meaning, a hidden something or other that's in there. Kind of interesting in that regard, right? All right, let me get some of the emails in here from earlier today. We were talking about unsung heroes. for the Patriots, for the most part. Chad says, here's the Ravens schedule. I'm sure you'll like it. One game against 13th-ranked offense, the Texans. A game against 17th-ranked offense, Tennessee. He's listing teams that are ranked from 16 to 32. He says, a lot of the Ravens' losses came to teams with mediocre to bad records who didn't make the playoffs. By the way, the one good offense the Ravens played all year was the Chargers, and they got torched. Like you said, I've been saying for years, offense equals touchdowns, defense equals turnovers. And again, BB has rebuilt this defense. Look at the tremendous young players that we have on this defense and project it into the future. Michael says his unsung hero is Manderson, which I assume is Michael Anderson. Tom, love the show. Here are my top three unsung players down the stretch. Sterling Moore, Nate Solder, Zoltan Mesko. Moore, I think, because he's been thrown into a situation, perhaps, Tom, that he realized he was going to get thrown into. But certainly Solder and Mesko. Mesko, I mentioned earlier, I would have to agree with you. Jamal, unsung heroes. Kyle Love, Dan Connolly, Brandon Dedrick. Well, I think you mentioned this. Brian Waters and Rob Ninkovich. Ninkovich is also a good one. I know that we mentioned, even over the last couple of days, we've talked about how Ninkovich starting to look a little bit more in the Mike Vrabel mode out there, which is kind of unusual, but at the sense, you know, maybe it has a lot to do with him wearing number 50. But nevertheless, he's flying into the ball a little bit, and he's making plays. And that's something that we were begging for on this Patriots defense early in the season when things were kind of iffy, more iffy than they are now. But when this team was struggling to a 5-3 start, we're asking for playmakers on defense. Somebody's going to step up and make a play. And Ninkovich has been one of those guys that has begun to assume that role on the Patriots defense. Chad says, finally, John, you are letting me the opportunity to stand up for such a player. Sebastian Vollmer. No one talks about him. He's a beast, a rock, a brick wall. It's amazing the way he pass blocks. I love him, but none of the local media is ever mentioning his name and his contribution. This guy here is the best right tackle in the game, in my opinion, and the opinion of the Associated Press. Please mention him, people. Nate Solder, also he and Vollmer are going to be one heck of a combo. Two 6'10 giants blocking on the edges. Vollmer all the way. Well, Chad, the only reason people aren't talking about Vollmer all the way is because he's been hurt most of the way. I don't mean to be, you know, joking in that regard, but he's been hurt. So when he's healthy, yeah, I don't disagree. He's been very solid. He's been a very good player, but he's been hurt. He was out on the field again today. We'll see if he's eligible or available to play because they do have to, you know, they do have to inactive somebody. Gene in Daytona. John Harbaugh deferred the coin toss and put Texans offense on the field first. Do you think if the Ravens win the coin toss again, they defer again and put Tom on the field first? Two words. No shot. First, I think the Ravens take the ball if they win the toss. I think if the Patriots win the toss, they probably defer and the Ravens take the ball. They shouldn't. They should take the ball based on what we saw what happened against Denver, but I don't think they'll do it. I'll be as surprised as anybody if the Patriots take the ball, they win the toss. He says, first, Devin McCourty has done everything he could to help this team through much criticism from the media. Second, Deion Branch, who never cries for the ball but is always there with Tom when Tom needs him. And third, Dan Connolly, who has quietly come in and done a great job quarterbacking the line, making all the blocking calls. The comments from Ed Reed are the same as the comments from Antonio Holmes, but have a different impact. One person commands respect, the other is respected. That's interesting, Gene. Thank you. He also says, I'd just like to thank Eric for his practice and pregame reports this season. They were important to me, and I am sure all Patriots fans worldwide who listen to the games live on the internet radio, thank you. It's important coming from Eric. I feel he has the heartbeat of the Patriots, and all you guys know our team better than anyone. Thank you, Gene. I'll pass that on to Mr. Scalavino for you. Vinny says, until the Patriots win at least one more Super Bowl, the Patriots cannot have a successful season while Bill Belichick is coach because it will always be said they cannot win without cheating. Remember Spygate.
It's ridiculous.
Well, clearly somebody is not a Patriots fan.
Grow the hell up. Grow up. Grow up. You have no idea what you're talking about.
Well,
you polled 99% of the coaches off the record. They'll tell you the whole story was bull bleep.
Because all the teams do it.
Of course they have.
Every team
and
did.
And always have, and they still do.
And, yeah, that's right. They just aren't quite as in your face about it as they have been.
I mean, grow up with that crap.
Thanks, Pete. Let's see. Jay says, do you think that Chad will make an impact this Sunday? No.
I don't know. Every time I think, I don't know.
No.
No, impact for me is catch one ball for about 25 yards, and I'll consider that an impact.
Catch a touchdown. That's an impact.
Yeah, well, he caught one this year against Denver,
right.
And I thought he would that game. And he caught another nice pass. Was against, was it Philly or the Jets? I forget. Caught like that 45-yard play.
Yeah.
I know one thing. You can't ignore him if he's on the field. You can't. Because he does have the capability of burning you. So, I just don't know. I mean, you saw last week, John. Julian Edelman was on the field a lot on offense. A lot. To the point, remember Sims saying, why are they double-teaming Edelman? Which they did on one play. So, I don't know if he said something like, because he was only on the field for what, one snap? I think he was only on the field for one offensive play last week. So, something happened. I don't know what. I see his tweets every day. They're hysterical. But, I mean, they just have nothing to do with football.
No, not anymore anyway. He's been a nice player to have in the locker room. I know the guys like him. You know, Coach Belichick respects him. It hasn't worked out the way that anybody wanted it to. I'm sure it hasn't worked out the way that Chad wanted it to.
I got to go back. I think he was only on the field for one snap last week. You saw it.
That's right, one snap.
Edelman played more on offensive last week than I've seen him since Welker was hurt.
That's
in the first half of 2009.
That's probably
he was out there all those formations. He was out there. He was out there all the time.
It's probably what happens this week. Brian gets the last word here, and he says, "Look, let's not blow sunshine up Flacco's butt. Here in the 2009 game, he was 4 of 10, 34 yards, no touchdowns. The key to this game is the O line keeping the Ravens at bay long enough for the Pats' offense to get in motion. The Ravens can beat teams without Flacco. That's simply the truth. And they're not up against T.J. Yates here. They're up against Brady, who is a man on a mission." I'm not saying the Pats are going to crush them, but this game is entirely different than previous games against the Ravens. Heck, this game is different than the Giants game earlier in the season. Hernandez was out that game, recall. So it's going to be a tight one, but I think the Pats have this game if they can just give Brady enough time to release. And then he says his unsung hero, Andre Carter. He went down and no one really talks about him anymore, but the guy is not only a beast on the field, he's almost captain-like in how he carries himself and helps other teammates. A really great guy. I truly hope he's back next year. All good stuff.
Mm.
What's coming up on the show?
No, I like the unsung hero stuff. I can't say Ninkovich because from last year when I started doing this show, I gave the, you know, he's not Mike Vrabel yet, but he's almost there. And that was like in week two. So not that I'm taking credit for that, but, I mean, you could see the impact that he had on games a lot of the time. And some were big impacts. I know this year that game in Denver, he looked like garbage in the first quarter and then redeemed himself. He was my defensive player pick last week before the game. So he does. I can't give him an unsung hero because I have so much respect for him. I think he's just done tremendous. So I kind of expect it out of him now. But I love the Zoltán Mezco. Might have to be at the top of the list. I think you're right, John. He goes underappreciated. And I think the other one is Dan Connolly.
Those were my two picks.
I think a lot of people don't understand when you lose your center, what that does to an offensive line and responsibilities.
And he's the third one we've had this year.
Yeah, and, you know, and back in the day, and Hochstein did the same thing when he was here. Now he's with Denver. But did a great job also.
Mm-hmm.
And I also think you got to credit, you know, McDonald, and even, you know, Waters. I mean, I'm telling you, the offensive line to me is it. And then, of course, and Marcus Cannon, what he did coming back. I mean, he's only played a little bit, but he's been very effective in limited time. So the depth on that offensive line, maybe as a unit, maybe gets my call. Zoltán, definitely.
Yeah.
You know.
All right, Pete's coming up in a couple of moments.
Not Sergio Brown, I know.
No, probably not. But, you know, he's had his moments too. Pete comes up in just a couple of minutes to end the program today. A little bit of time with Tom Brady at the podium as we bring you the latest prior to kickoff, the Patriots and the Baltimore Ravens. We're back again, same Pats time, same Pats channel tomorrow. Russell Baxter, pro football guru here. We'll hit the championships. We'll hit it with you in the playbook. Now it's not loading up.
Froze on me.
Okay.
I'll be Tom. You ready?
That's what happened. You want to be Tom?
I have a lot of respect for the Baltimore Ravens. They're a great team.
Okay. I'm reloading.
A lot of good defensive players.
All right, he's reloading it now.
Terrell Fizzle.
Don't you just love modern
NFL Network?
Yeah, I know. Perfect, huh? Perfect, because that's how we had to record it from when he was at the podium here at Gillette today.
Belichick does a great job of getting the team ready and understanding that this is, you know, a football game, something we've been doing here for the last 6 months. So, you know, a big part of what we've done all year is really avoid the distractions and the things that come along with the hype and the buildup of certain games, whether it's a Sunday night football game or a Monday night football game or last week's game. Or, you know, we've certainly been in a lot of big games this year, so... You know, once the ball's kicked off, we'll be prepared to play as we always are. And I think a big point for this team is to make sure that we're doing the things that we need to do over the course of the week so we could be at our best, you know, when it matters the most.
Tom Giocchiato from WJR in Providence. Can you just talk about that defense, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed, and what they've done for so long in this league?
Sure. Yeah, well, they're great players. I've played against both those guys a few times, and you always enjoy going up against the best because you can really measure where you're at. And you can't take plays off against those guys. You can't take things for granted when you're out there against them. You have to see where they're at on every play because they're guys that change the game. And, you know, not only games we play in, but every single game that they're in, they're making plays. And Haloti Ngata and Terrell Suggs, the way those guys perform as well, they've got an exceptional defense. Jarrett Johnson, the corners, Kerry Williams, and Ladarius Webb are very good players. They have a rookie who's playing out there and substitute defenses. So they have a great defense. And I think what makes them great is not only the playmakers, but all 11 guys play together. And it's really been a strength of that team for as long as I've been around. And it continues to be. I'm sure as long as Ray and Ed and Terrell Suggs are there, it's going to be a strength.
Tom, Alan Siegel from Yahoo Sports Radio. You just mentioned Ed Reed. As you approach the line of scrimmage and you look around the opposing defense and checkoffs, do you have to add a level when you're playing against Ed Reed? And is it possible to trick him at all? Or is he just so good that you just have to take account to where he is at all times?
Yeah, you don't fool Ed too often. There's you know, every once in a while you see him out of place, but it's very rare. But, yeah, you know, when you break the huddle, you find where he's at and you make sure you're not, you know, lobbing the ball up into his zones because, you know, as you saw in the Houston game, he's going to go up there and make the plays. And he's just an exceptional player. I don't think there's really a weakness that he has. You know, Coach Belichick has a meeting with all the quarterbacks. We did it yesterday, and you talk about strengths and weak points of every player. And a guy like Ed and Ray Lewis and Terrell, there's no real weak points. So you just have to be careful with the ball around them, understand this is a team that really, you know, can get the turnovers, and they've gotten turnovers against us when they played us, and, you know, I'm sure that'll be a huge difference in the game.
Tom, Brian from TSN, a lot of athletes talk about their prime or hitting their prime. Do you feel you're there now? Do you feel the best is yet to come? And the second part of that, I just want to know the hunger level of this team, considering the last 2 years in the playoffs, or that hunger and that pride level is to come back this year.
What was the first part? I try to be the best I could be every week. I learn something from every game that I play, and you know, you try to get better. You try to work at it in practice. You try to get better in your film study and your preparation, and you try to be the best leader that you can be for this team. So it's probably where my focus is at. I don't think long-term too often, you know, especially in weeks like this. So, and the team hunger, is that what it was?
Yeah.
It's lunchtime. They're probably hungry right now. Cafeteria, there's probably a whole slew of offensive linemen that are beating down the sandwich station in there. So, you know, a bunch of teammates have really committed themselves to each other to make it to this point. I think we put a lot of work in. There's been a lot of practices, a lot of meetings and so forth. And to get to this point is very challenging. I mean, there's every team is talented. Every team, you know, has the same rules. And there's 32 teams that start the year with the hopes of being in this position. So, you know, the team that's going to win this weekend is a team that plays the best. And there's nothing anyone will say or do before Sunday at, you know, 3 o'clock, that's, you know, going to have an influence on the game other than the way you prepare and the way you're rested and the commitment to practice. And that we bring to the table. So, you know, the game can't get here fast enough. There's a lot of anxiousness kind of leading up to the game, and you think about the game, it's the only thing really on your mind. And, you know, hopefully we can go out there and do a great job. I'm looking forward to it.
Tuesday through Thursday, hear from NFL experts on Patriots Playbook.
We're pleased to be joined on the program now by Jim Nance from CBS Sports, the senior editor for NFL.com. Vic Carucci, welcome onto the program.
Ron Jaworski, Phil Simms from CBS, joining us here inside the Playbook.
Kenny Albert, who of course calls the play-by-play for the Fox Television Network.
All right, we're pleased to be joined now by Dan Dierdorf, CBS analyst.
Randy Cross joins us here inside the Playbook.
Patriots Playbook with John Rook, Tuesday through Thursday at 2.